Everything that God does on the earth today, He does it by His Word and His Spirit. In the Pastor William Evans Podcast, your host, Pastor William Evans, takes you through the importance of the Word of God in your everyday life. Whether you're experiencing the lowest valley or the highest mountain, the Word of God is essential. As we depend on it and read it daily, we form an unbreakable bond with God. We understand His will, what He wants us to do, and our purpose in life. Without further delay, here's another uplifting episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast.
Everyone, bow your heads, please. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, we appreciate You, Father God, for all that You are in our lives, Lord. I ask, Father God, for forgiveness of my sins, Lord, and to cleanse me, Father God, of all unrighteousness. I pray, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, that it be acceptable in Your sight, Lord. I come to You, Holy Father, because, Father God, I have nowhere else to go, Lord. I come to You, Father God, asking, begging, Father, beseeching, Father God, asking You to use me, Father God, for Your glory, Lord. That people would not see me, Lord, they would see You. They would see, Father God, the work that You ordained, not only for my hands to do, Father, but all our hands to do, Lord. That those out there in the world that are struggling, Father God, whatever they're going through, Father God, they can see that there's hope in You. And, Father, I thank You for that. I thank You for everything You're doing in our lives and all You have yet to do, Lord. Be glorified this day, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray, Father. Amen and amen. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters. It's a great honor to come to you. Let's pause a moment to give thanks to God for blessing all of us to be here and those that will partake of this service through various means. My hope is that we would embrace the opportunity and honor God by allowing the message that He's given us today to guide us on our journey, to give us the assurance that no matter what we go through in life, that God has us, that we're never alone. Amen? No matter if we falter, if we step off track, whatever it is, know that God is right there with His arms spread open saying, come home, I'm with you. I got you. Amen? As we began to move through the progression of life, we're tasked to deal with many things. How we deal with them determines our success or failure. I want you to understand something. We all play a role in our own success and failures. But I want to pause here a moment to emphasize something. I want to emphasize that we are all aware of the environment, culture, and obstacles we face. I'm not standing here being naive. I know that there are those that are in adverse situations. Some have the talent to be some of the greatest actors, scientists, whatever else that's out there. They can be the greatest, but they're in an environment that's really robbing them of that. But what I believe is that if we would introduce whoever it is and wherever they are to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will make a way to help anybody to become what He ordained to be. I just believe that because I'm a living testimony to that. Amen? No, I wasn't in a poverty-stricken nation. No, I wasn't with abusive parents. There's a lot of things that I avoided growing up. But I did get exposed to some things that have had me right now in prison for life or even dead. But I thank God for Jesus calling my name one day, giving me an opportunity to see the world differently and putting good people in my life to help me along the way. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to sound crazy. It's going to sound like, well, you know, you're talking too much, you're saying too much, but I'm going to say this anyway. Because it's the truth. When I was in the world, I didn't do drugs, but I was around guys that did. And I remember we were in this field, and these guys was in the back of the truck, and they were shooting dope in their arms with a needle. And I'm standing there looking at them. And the guys in the back of the truck told me, said, tell you something, don't ever mess with this stuff. They wasn't trying to entice me to use drugs. They were trying to tell me not to. Amen. That was God protecting me right then. I didn't even know it.
I had people in my life that were out doing things. And I'm going to tell you something. They were doing things, but they wasn't doing it with me. I would hear about them going to jail. And I'm trying to figure out, I just seen this guy. He just left. You know, he just went, this way, I went mine, he in jail. But never would do stuff around me to get me in trouble. That wasn't me, that was God protecting me. Amen? So I'm telling you because, I'm telling you this for this reason, is that when God has a plan for your life, it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in a hut in Africa. Amen? You can be out in Mexico. You can be in Panama. You can be in Cuba. You can, wherever else, anywhere in the world you can be. But when it's time for God to come get you, God will send somebody to find you, to let you know, God sent me. Here's your opportunity to change your life. How many stories have you heard about people that came out of poverty-stricken communities and had successful lives, knowing that it wasn't about how good they were? It wasn't about how good their talents were. It was by the grace of God that God seen them. Amen? I'm going somewhere with this because it's important that you understand why am I saying all this. When I made the statement that we have a role in our success and failures. And the reason why I'm emphasizing this is because our decisions are going to determine our success or our failures. Amen? You see, the Bible talks about if you keep bad company, you're going to pick up bad habits. My grandmother told me that. I didn't believe her. Oh, Mom, I'm all right. So I reading the Bible. I found what she was talking about. But then I experienced it. I had people that I was associating with, those that were trying to keep me away from trouble. And I had those that were trying to entice me to get in trouble. Amen. I don't know about you, but you may not have had that kind of life where everything was real good for you, where you didn't have them kind of people in your life. But I did. Amen. Now, in order for us to minimize the failures in our life, we have to learn how to do something. This task is not going to be easy, nor will it happen overnight. But in order for us to minimize the failures and maximize the successes, we're going to have to learn in this lesson we're talking about today, we're going to learn how to overcome distractions. Amen. How to overcome distractions. This is a four-part series, and we're going to build it on four pillars. The first pillar is recognition. The second pillar is targeted focus. The third pillar is perseverance. And the fourth pillar is compartmentalization. Now, I want y'all to hear that real good. I love all this because I'm going to tell you something. This is powerful. Amen. Let me say it again in case you missed it. Maybe I need to say it a little slow. Recognition, targeted focus, perseverance, and compartmentalization. Amen. The first term that we need to clarify is overcome. This is defined as to prevail over opposition, debility, temptations, etc. It is a certainty that we will face opposition, debility, temptations, etc. However, we cannot allow them to become a distraction. Let me explain. A distraction is something that we allow to take our attention away from what we are supposed to be doing. This happens to us every day of our lives. Every human being is susceptible to distraction, but learning how to deal with them is possible. Amen? Let me tell y'all something. I remember one day I was studying, and I like to study early in the morning or late at night. Early in the morning, everybody sleep, you know, and late at night, everybody, you know, just laid out or whatever. So I'm in there, everything is nice, quiet, and peaceful, and so I'm able to study. I'm able to really lock down on what I'm doing. And I remember my daughter came home from college, and she was in the room studying. And so I went in the room to ask her something. And she had these earbuds in. And she was listening to music. But I seen her locked into her subject matter. And I'm like, man. And I was amazed by that because me personally, I couldn't do it. There was no way I'm going to be able to have on earbuds and listen to music and study. Amen. But what it did, it taught me that distractions were unique. Unique to the individual. Amen. What may be a distraction to you may not be a distraction to me. Amen? Everyone knows that a distraction comes in two forms. There's the external distraction. You know, it can be people talking, noise, the TV, phone alerts, things of that nature, right? And secondly, there can be internal distraction, which comes from hunger, fatigue, illness, stress, worries, and distracting thoughts. Let me give you an example. If someone walks into the service, we say, oh, well, I'm locked in. You know, I come in to serve God. I'm coming to worship God. And we come to church because God is supposed to be the center of our attention. But if somebody walked through the door in the service, guess what happens? Your senses are piqued. You're going to look around. If you hear something, you're going to look to see where it's at. Or if it gets cold, your body, amen, that's a distraction, external one. But let me tell you about internal one. Let's say, for instance, you're driving to church and someone cuts you off on the freeway. Amen. The person going about his business and you come into church, but you're sitting out in church and the choir singing, the preacher preaching, but you cannot get that thought of that individual cutting you off on the freeway out of your mind. That's a distraction. Amen. Isn't that something? Now watch this. One of the hardest distractions, I believe, that is we deal with is when we deal with someone close to us and we have a disagreement. Hey, man, when you have a disagreement with someone close to you, it changes the dynamics of who you are. It just does because they're close to you. So you begin to think about what's going on with this disagreement. It's in your thoughts. It controls your body language. You can tell when somebody has gotten into it with someone that they love or they're close to because their whole attitude changes. You can say good morning and guess what? Nah, what's good about it? Wait a minute. I'm not the one that you had the disagreement with. It might have been your wife, your husband, one of your kids, whatever it is. But it's still a distraction. Amen. We're here this morning to learn how to deal with distractions. We're going to learn how to overcome them. Amen. Amen. Many times, when we face distractions of life, we tend to get overwhelmed. We get overwhelmed because we really hadn't been taught how to deal with distractions. Let me tell you something. There are studies that are being done on how to deal with distractions. They study students and how they study their subject matter. They put people in a room and they'll start doing certain things to see how they're going to respond to them and can they come back to focus on what they're supposed to be doing. There's countless information out there about distractions. Amen? But having information is one thing. But you got to have experience to learn how to follow what you need to follow to get better at overcoming distractions. Amen? This is a necessity. Why? Because what we want to do as human beings, as well as children of God, we want to be productive in our life. Right? We want to learn how to handle things correctly. I don't want to go out and handle things emotionally because I'm not thinking anymore. What I'm doing, I'm basing it on my emotions. I'm basing it on how I feel right now, right? I don't want to deal with situations like that. Let me tell y'all something. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I am. I've been in Dallas long enough to know that 75, the freeway, was one. It was like two lanes. Now it's four. When it was two lanes, I was coming from work and I had to drive it home. And the toll road was there, and the toll road was like, at that time, I think it was 50 cent or whatever. You know, you throw the change in there, keep driving. But God had me to go down 75. 75 is congested. I'm talking about bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I'm, man, Lord, why you got me coming this way? What he did, he made everything slow down for me on 75. It started slowing down. I started paying attention to different things that's going on around me, right? I started seeing different things that may have been a distraction. But now I know how to deal with it. I'm like, wait a minute. No, I can't do that. Then I'm sitting in the car in traffic. I'm not mad about the traffic. I'm thinking now. I'm meditating. God just opened my mind to different things. So now when I get off of work, I'm looking forward to go to 75. Because when I go to 75, I'm about to get stuck in traffic. But I'm not mad about it. It's a learning experience. Amen. Let me tell you what happened one time. I'll never forget it. I was driving down 75, and this lady's car had broke down on the side of the road. And I pulled over to help her. I get out of the car. I said, ma'am, you need any help? At first, she was apprehensive. Well, my husband is coming. And you know, I said, okay. Well, she said, well, you can look at it. So I looked at it. I said, well, no, that's nothing I can do with it. I said, is there any way I can bring you? She says, yeah, you can bring me up here to the church up here. I said, okay. And so she got in the car and we were driving down 75, getting ready to go to the church. And this is what she told me. She says, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? She says, when you drove up, I asked the Holy Spirit, is he safe? She said, he told me yes. That's why I said I would accept the ride to the church. What she did was, she was trying to tell me that I'm driving down 75 thinking that God is teaching me a lesson about this, that, and the other, whatever. But God is teaching her too, that we got to trust him to know that there's good people out there that's sent by him to help us along the way. I had to learn that, and she did too. Amen. The point I make is that her car was a distraction. Car broke on side of the road. I'm looking at it like, well, I could have just said, well, you know, that's her business. I am. But I was compelled to help her. And by me helping her and what she told me, that the Holy Spirit said that I was safe, that it was good for her to get in the car with me. How do you think that made me feel? It made me feel like God had me. Amen. Watch this. If we are going to ever be successful as children of God, we're going to have to learn how to overcome distraction. Because the more God elevates you, the more the distractions will come, and the more deceptive they become. Amen. Let me tell you something about a distraction. A distraction is not something that just, well, you know, it just randomly happens. It's there for a reason. Amen. It's there to cause you to get off track about what you're trying to do. My daughter, I've been talking to my daughter all day. This is her sermon, was beautiful. I'm going to talk about her all day, but I'm going to say it anyway. My daughter bought this car, nice car. Car been having problems and things of that nature. And I told her when she first got the car, I said, look, the car going to need a little maintenance. Take care of it before it gets worse, okay? The car goes down, she gets it fixed, then something else happens, and objective, now hear me real good on this now. The objective is not a car note. The objective is a house note. You see where I'm going with this? So if my objective is to get me a house, right, what's trying to be my distraction? The car, right? Because what the car is telling me is, well, I'm going to make you spend some money on me. That's going to make you say, well, I'm going to put the car off for another 3 years. I mean, the house off for another 3 years. I'll put it off another 5 years. No. What happens is you deal with your distraction. You overcome it. But you never get off course to what you're trying to accomplish. If I would get off course from trying to preach the gospel, guess what? I wouldn't be standing here. Amen. If I would allow different things to come up to my life and call me not to want to read my Bible or study, to pray, guess what? I wouldn't be standing here. How many people you know will spend 3, 4, 5, 6 hours watching TV and will not be distracted? And when it's time to sit down and read their Bible for 10 minutes, all kind of thoughts start going through their mind. Their body start aching. The phone ringing. Somebody coming to the door. Hey, amen. Amen. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying it's a distraction. You have to learn how to overcome it. Because once you overcome your distraction, guess what you find out? Your goal is in sight. Amen. Man, the devil don't attack you because he's just attacking you. He's attacking you because he's trying to make you get off course. Amen. Amen. Watch the shutdown. Often when we face challenges, men tend to take the stance of denial, which for this lesson, we will define it as a psychological defense mechanism in which confrontation with a personal problem or with reality is avoided by denying the existence of the problem or the reality of it. What am I saying? Now, you know that this chair right here is very uncomfortable for me when it comes down to studying the Bible. I had a chair. I was sitting in it for 30 minutes. My back would start hurting. My legs are locked up. That's what I did. We bought me another chair. Comfortable. So when I sit down in it now, I don't even think about the chair. I'm focused on what I'm doing. Amen. Whatever it is that's hindering you from doing what you need to be doing, you need to deal with it. Don't act like it don't exist. If it's a family member that's causing you to feel a certain way, get what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to deal with it. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is, whatever your distraction is. Like I said before, it's unique to you. Because what the devil is trying to do, he's trying to use that distraction to take you off course and my distraction to take me off course. Amen? Amen. Why should I? The value of recognition is to disqualify denial. Because what it does is It acknowledges the existence of your distraction. Amen. Let us delve a little deeper into the first pillar, because until we truly embrace the reality of those things that are distracting us, we'll never be able to overcome. Let us turn to the biblical example of recognition in the book of Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. There you will find these words. And Jesus went back to the side of Lake Galilee in the boat. There a large crowd of people gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the synagogue came. His name was Jairus. He saw Jesus and bowed down before him. He begged Jesus again and again, saying, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she will be healed and will live." 24th verse says, so Jesus went with Jairus. Many people followed Jesus. They were pushing very close around him. Here we are introduced to a setting in which Jesus is standing by Lake Galilee, engaging the crowd. Many have come for various reasons. We can imagine that many were there because they have seen and heard of the mighty works that Jesus was doing. I want you to pay close attention to verse 22a. It says that the leader of the synagogue came. This is the person in charge of the Jewish meeting place. This passage is identifying this person's position. Why? The reason is that this man was a man of prominence. In other words, he was important. Amen. That's why he said that he was a ruler of the synagogue. In other words, this man was in authority. This man had responsibilities, right? But the man came to Jesus because the man had something else. The man had something that was causing him to be distracted. Amen. Watch this now. In verse 22b, his name was Jairus. In the Greek form of Hebrew, the name Jairus means Jah, or God will enlighten. Amen. God will enlighten Jairus. In verse 22c, he saw Jesus and bowed down before him. This is significant because Jairus gave recognition to the prominence of Jesus. There are many meanings to the word bow, but for this lesson, I would like to use to bend or incline towards. Amen. Why am I using that term, that terminology? Because it's important to understand that when we allow our distraction to take over us, what are we doing? We're bowing to him, right? We're inclining ourselves to him. Amen. Instead of inclining ourselves to what? The solution. What you have to do is you got to go out and you got to, what the Bible talks about, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Speak life. Amen. I don't care how you feel. Don't confess you feel bad. Confess you feel good. Keep saying it till you feel good. Amen. Oh, I'm happy. Amen. Inside, I might be crying and all, but yeah, look, I'm happy. What David said he's going to rejoice in the Lord. I don't care what's going on. Amen. I don't need a crowd of people to make me happy. I just start thinking about the goodness of God and all he's done for me, and I'll get happy. Amen. You got to learn how not to incline yourself to your distractions. Amen. When something is trying to take you off course, get what you do. You give it recognition. I see you. I see what you're trying to do, but I'm not going to yield to it. I'm not going to incline to that. I'm going to stand firm on what I know I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. If I'm sitting here and I'm going to tell you something, now, and I'm not boasting about, oh, I got great study habit. No, I didn't start off like that. There was times where, my body would be aching sitting in that chair reading and writing and looking up words and doing different things of that nature. Amen. There was times when I would get up and lay in the bed and try to go to sleep, but I couldn't because I got so many things running through my mind. Amen. But God allowed me to go through those things to get to the point where I got disciplined in what I was doing because I kept doing it. I didn't stop reading. I didn't stop praying. I didn't allow the distraction to hinder me from doing what I was supposed to be doing because I knew I was going somewhere. Amen. I don't care what nobody says. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you another story. I don't know I got stories, but let me give you another one. Amen. My wife and I were staying in an apartment with our four children, and we were in the process of buying a house. Amen. And we're in there, and we're talking to the mortgage guy. We talking to everybody, getting our stuff in order, and the guy said, well, y'all got to tighten up on y'all finances, man. Y'all gonna tighten up on this, tighten up on that. Okay. We start tightening up on our finances. Guess what? You don't think distractions came? You don't think things start happening where we needed money to take care of this or money to take care of that, right? But what we understood was if we wanted that house, we got to overcome those distractions. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not ashamed to say that I was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm not ashamed to tell you that we wasn't going out to eat. Amen. I'm not ashamed to tell you that we had cut down on a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. Because the goal was already set. The goal was to get that house. Amen. But not only get the house, but be able to stay there. I'm sitting here saying, Lord, what are you showing me? He said, I want you to understand that when you set your mind hard to do it, you're going to have distraction. But you got to learn how to overcome them. On top of that, my wife with my fifth child. Amen. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all might think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you why her name is Moriah. Not M-A, but M-O. God told Abraham to take his son Isaac to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And when God had Abraham to go to sacrifice Mount Moriah, on Mount Moriah, what God did was he got up there, he laying all the firewood out, he's doing all the stuff that's necessary. He got the knife, all the other things like this, getting ready to tie the boy down and all this stuff like this. Finna take the boy's life because God said take his life. And God said that because I see that you're not willing to hold back your son for me, don't kill the boy. There's a ram in the bush over there. Why am I saying that? I'm telling you that when you get ready to do anything, when you try to accomplish anything, there will be distractions. And you got to learn how to overcome them. And it don't matter who it is, what it is, you got to learn how to overcome your distractions. Amen. This lesson is telling us that first thing we got to learn is to recognize or give recognition to our distraction. Amen. Don't act like you don't see it. Huh? Give it recognition. I see you. I see what it is. We're in that house, we're in that apartment, and we're going through sacrificing and doing what we got to do. And we got into the house. Our baby was born, Moriah. That's why her name is that, Moriah, because of what we went through. We had to sacrifice some of that. We had to give up some stuff if that's what we wanted. Don't ever think it wasn't no distraction, because it was. We just didn't yield to them. In other words, we didn't incline to the distraction. Amen? If you want something, if you want to be a great musician, if you want to be a great photographer, you want to be a great preacher, you want to be whatever it is you want to be good at, you want to give up something. Amen? Oh, yeah. Because you got to understand that you're going to have distractions coming. What I thank God for, my wife, and she still does this. When our children were younger, I'm in the room studying. Saturday was my day to study. I'm talking about all day. I'm in the room locked up studying. She would tell the children, don't go in there and mess with your daddy. Come home and bring you out to the park or whatever. But she always gave me that time to do what I needed to do. She does it right now because she knows the importance of what I'm trying to get done. And she's trying to minimize the distraction. Amen? Amen. Why the shit not? Y'all ready? Mm-mm-mm. Now, in verse 23, he begged Jesus again and again, saying, my little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she will be healed and will live. Jairus asked Jesus earnestly or humbly, not with pride, arrogance, or falsehood. He was honest when he gave recognition to his distraction, didn't he? My daughter is my problem, but my daughter being sick near death is a distraction. Let's be honest about it. If they're one of your children, your siblings or mother, father, whoever, wouldn't that be a distraction to you? Amen. But what Jesus is trying to get us to understand today is we got to learn how to overcome those things. This is not about you getting to the point you get isolated where you don't care about what's going on with your family members or what's going on with this or what's going on with that. No, it's how you deal with it. Amen. This first part of this lesson, of this series, is recognition. We're not going to talk about nothing else today but recognition. The next one, yeah, I'm going to leave that right there. You got to come back and get it. Amen. You got to come back and get it. Today we're talking about recognition. Jairus gave recognition to his distraction, his daughter, right? Here we have the Jairus dealing with an external as well as an internal distraction caused by his daughter being sick near death. Amen. When he saw Jesus, his response was not denial, was it? He didn't allow pride to hinder his recognition of his distraction. He humbled himself. He took a least important position and started begging Jesus for help, putting his daughter's well-being above his pride and prestige. Amen. In verse 24, so Jesus went with Jairus. Many people followed Jesus. They were pushing very close around him. Jairus' actions moved Jesus to go with him to help. But the people were still trying to apprehend what they came there for and was pursuing him very closely. Now watch this now. Meanwhile, here comes another person that is dealing with a distraction. Mark 5, 25 and 26. There you will find these words. There among the people was a woman who had an issue for the past 12 years. She had suffered very much. Many doctors had tried to help her. And all the money she had was spent. She was not improving. In fact, her sickness was getting worse. This woman was also dealing with external and internal distractions. The issue of blood or bleeding in modern medicine is called a chronic abnormal condition. It's possibly a fibroid tumor of the uterus with the symptoms of chronic loss of blood, which probably meant anemia and physical weakness for her. This distraction for this woman was her own physical one. Well, she had not only exhausted her finances, but her body would at times fail her. But like Jairus, their distractions were also external because they both had to navigate the crowd. We have shown the recognition of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood and their distraction. I want you to pay attention to that. I remember years ago, I met someone that had this illness. This illness would come throughout the month, and the individual would be drained. I'm talking drained. And it was a situation where they had to have surgery to correct it. Well, we're talking about back then that there is no surgery. The Bible just told us that the woman spent all the money going to the doctors trying to get this stuff taken care of. Amen. So this was a, come on now, let's think about this now. This distraction, these two distractions were not some little, well, you know, my back hurts because this chair hurt. Or this distraction is because I'm tired. No. This man's daughter is sick almost to death. This lady is losing blood out of her body at a rapid rate where it makes her body so weak she can't move. Those are distractions. Amen. But what are these people doing? Can anybody tell me? Are they laying around feeling sorry for themselves? Are they? No. Are they inclining to their distraction? No. Amen. I'm not going to hold y'all. I'm going to close right here because it's going to be good on the next one. I'm going to put a little lay on this. This lesson is giving us insight into the fact that people, when they encounter distractions, they know that it's a part of our lives. All of us know this. We all know we're going to have something we're going to deal with. Amen. But let me tell you this. You know, I'm going to make it plain. If you are trying to accomplish something and you feel like, I have to get this done, will you incline to a distraction? Or will you do whatever you got to do to deal with or overcome that distraction? See, that's the question to you. Amen. That's the question to all of us. Because distractions are not going anywhere. They're going to be there. But how you deal with them is what changes them from being something that's going to stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or, I see you, I understand why you're there, and guess what? Thank you. But I'm going to keep on doing what I got to do. I'm going to make the adjustment I need to make to it. Amen. If I'm trying to get a house, if I'm trying to buy a car, if I'm trying to live right or live healthy or have good friends or whatever, guess what? I don't know what nobody else think about marriage. Oh, I ain't got married and oh, everything is good. Man, marriage is work. Amen. You don't see your wife snoring when you're dating her, do you? Amen. Y'all know what happens, right? Let me say this here, we're going to close. Y'all know as well as I know that when you're dating someone, there are things you don't see. Amen. Like the way they smack their food when they eat. Or they might want to pick their teeth. Whatever it is. And you sitting down and you, oh, this is a beautiful person. Man, I'm so in love. And then once you get married, get in the house with them 2 weeks later. But man, I didn't see this. That smack of the teeth was a distraction. I didn't know that. Baby, you know you snore when you sleep, right? No, I don't. Oh, yeah, you do. Amen. I'm trying to go to sleep, but I can't because you're over here snoring. Amen. It's a distraction. Why am I saying all this? You learn how to overcome them. You learn how to deal with those things. You don't go to divorce court because your wife's snoring, do you? Do you? You don't go to divorce court if your husband's smacking his teeth or picking his teeth, right? Do you? No. Well, you don't give up on your hopes and your dreams when a distraction comes. You learn how to overcome it. And you keep pressing forward. Amen? You don't get to the point where you allow those things to stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Oh, my husband did this, and we separated now. Well, hold on a minute. What was it? What did he do? Oh, my wife, you know, she don't know how to cook. Okay, you cook. If she don't know how to cook, you cook. That'll solve that. Don't allow things to become a distraction to bring a wedge into what you're doing. You overcome them and keep going forward. Amen? Because eventually, when you start overcoming your distractions, you begin to grow up. You begin to get better. Your relationships get better. And you become better as a person. Amen?
Let me tell you something. I told y'all this. I think I talked about this last week. God, he was talking to me crazy. And I didn't get upset about it. I preached about it. Amen? Sermon last week was based on what happened to me. Amen? So I see the guy, encountered the guy last week. Nice, kind, gentle. You know why? I didn't punch back. I just showed love. Kept moving. Didn't even matter. Because I understand that you're trying to be a distraction. You're trying to be something that's trying to take me off course. And if I go act unseemly, guess what? That ain't you. That's me. Right? I'm not going to. Look, man, if I get to the point where I start talking about, man, I'm tired of going through all this. Oh, I'm tired of that. Guess what happens? I stop doing stuff. I stop trying to do stuff. Before I know it, guess what I'm doing? Nothing. Amen. See, one thing I love about God is God shows you stuff through all kinds of things. Now, I'm a guy that come from old school and they got professional boxing matches on pay-per-view. But see, back when I was coming up, they was on TV every Friday night, right? I'm talking about Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Sugar Ray Leonard, what's his name? Man, a whole bunch of them. I'm from fighters. And you sit down and watch it for free. Right? Those guys will go out there, it was like bloodbath. They fight, all beat up. Guess what happens after about 3, 4, 5, 6 months or whatever? They're back in the ring again. Huh? Now, that beating could have been a distraction. Man, I'm not going back out there. I got beat back. I'm not talking about somebody else they fight. They going to fight the guy. Just beat him up. Hey, man. God just beat him up. I'm not talking about, well, you know, I lost. No. I'm talking about got beat up. But they was not going to allow that beating to cause them to stop doing what they were supposed to be doing. They knew they had to overcome that distraction. So what was it that this guy did to me that made him or allowed him to beat me up? So they start saying, okay, he was doing this, he was doing that. So they learned from it. So next time they fought the guy, they didn't fight the same way. Hey, man, people don't even realize why Muhammad Ali came up with the rope-a-dope. You know why he came up with it? Huh? He was fighting opponents that was a lot stronger than him, right? And he knew he couldn't stand toe-to-toe with him and fight him. So what he did was he came with the rope-a-dope to lay on the rope to let him beat on him. You know why? To tie him down. Once they get tired, guess what? He takes over. That's what the rope-a-dope is. In other words, he came up with a strategy to do what? Overcome his distraction. I can't beat you, man. You're stronger than I am. If I stand toe-to-toe, you're going to get me every time. But if you're beating on me for 5 rounds and all of a sudden your arms have got heavy now, your legs have got a little weaker, amen, all I'm doing is laying on the rope resting, letting you do what you do. Go on, beat. Yeah, go on, hit it. Yeah, go on, do what you got to do. Because after a while, I'm going to show you what's going on, amen. Don't incline to your distraction. Don't incline to them. Give them recognition. Know exactly what they are. This is what distracts me. Now I'm going to deal with it. Next week, we deal with targeted focus. Because you got to have a targeted focus on how to deal with your distraction. Amen. I didn't say focus. No, targeted. Because when you target something, that means you're getting precise in what you're trying to get done. Amen. Amen. You bow your heads, please.
Well, grace and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I appreciate you, Father God, for your word. I thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, and most of all, your love. I pray, Father God, that you bless us, Father God, to go out today, Father God, and truly give recognition to our distractions so we can learn how to overcome them. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, I thank you for it. Let every child of God signify by saying, amen and amen.
You just listened to another episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast. Pastor William Evans Podcast was recorded live in the studio with final editing before uploading. Subscribe today to the Pastor William Evans Podcast or visit tcuic.org for more godly, inspired content. Don't miss the next episode, and God bless.